Pine Low Camp, August 11th, Saturday morning, 2018.
Time for us to hear from them. And in our local, most of our local services, we have the children minister to us. This is body ministry, and it includes from the youngest to the oldest, and we want when we're in a camp like this, the Lord has appointed some of us to be leaders, but we're really servants, and we all serve one another, and our joy is in seeing others. That's just where we get our joy, is when we see someone else entering into their ministry and blessing us with their ministry. And we've seen that throughout this camp, and we'll see more of it. And we're down to the last day now. So just think about, are there some things that you would like to share with us that would bless others? And if that's the case, we want you to make sure that it's included. I know there are some more songs that we would like to hear, and we want to be led by the Lord in all of this. I think I mentioned about years ago when Hazel and I were amazed at when we would go to camp. It was in the 70s mostly. And I don't know why it hasn't carried on as much as it could have seemed, but at that time it just seemed as though there would be a message, and there was a song there that would confirm the message, and it was quite a thrill. The times change, and we don't want to fall in any ruts or anything like that. At this camp, there's sort of a theme. I wouldn't put a name on the theme that we have, other than body ministry, sharing with one another, getting to know one another, and caring about one another. You know, I'm sure all of us have heard from someone some concern that they have, or something that they've been going through. And we'll be praying about that as we go forward, and we'll be keeping track. How are they doing? Because we really have it on our heart to see them get out of any problem that they might have and get going on with serving the Lord and walking in the joy of His Spirit. Praise the Lord. So, I'm just saying that just to give us the feeling that we need to stand ready to contribute. So the children, we're going to sing a song here, just to make sure that we don't want to start before all the children are here, and then we'll have them come up, and then if there are others that have songs or testimony or something that will fit in to bless the camp. And God is in control, and He will, if we're listening to Him, this will all work out just fine. Praise the Lord. So the song I'd like to sing is on page 178 of the Red Book, and it's called Jesus Bids Us Shine with a Clear, Pure Light. It's generally a child's song, but I think that's appropriate for this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow in prayer for a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we can be here. We thank You for the children that we have. We just thank You for the great blessings that You've given us, including the children. We pray that You will just be with us and bless them and guide them as they minister to us this morning. Bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing this song together. Page 178, the Red Book. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine, first of all, for Him. Well, He sees and knows it, if our light grows dim. He looks down from heaven, sees us shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. I recall children singing this with the actions with it as well. So that's I hope all the children are singing this along with us and learning the song if they haven't learned it, known it before. But this applies to all of us. Jesus bids us shine, then for all around. Many kinds of darkness in this world abound. Sin and want and sorrow, we must shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine as we work for Him, bringing those that wander from the paths of sin. He will ever help us if we shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. You may be seated. And I'll ask the children to come, but I'd like, just while they're coming, I'd like to mention that there will be an offering this morning for the needs in the foreign fields. And if your offering is cash and you want a receipt, there are envelopes. There are envelopes at the back, and I put some up here. And we would need your name and address on there so that a receipt can be returned to you. So that offering will be a little later in the meeting. Praise the Lord.
Stories and parables and ways that we could relate to him. And in these guys' lives, they're surrounded by superheroes in their everyday. And so Brenda Rousseau created a little story at North Battleford about how Jesus is the only real superhero. He's our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Healer. And so this camp we had some of the older children share how they asked Jesus into their hearts. So these little guys soaked that up. They learned about Jesus coming into their heart, and what that would mean for them is that the Holy Spirit would come and give the, help them have abilities to face things in their life, kind of like superpowers. And that's like the fruit of the Spirit. So they're going to share that verse with us to help them remember. They had a little craft, and so if you guys all hold up your bracelets, they each made a bracelet with one of the fruits of the Spirit on it, and so they're going to share with you what that was.
But the fruit of the Spirit is
love, joy.
Who's Joy? You Joy?
No.
Yeah, she's right. Okay, say Joy.
Joy.
Say peace.
Peace.
Patience.
What did I say?
Kindness.
Goodness.
Goodness. Self-control.
Yeah.
Mommy's team. We're on a rescue mission, and he's got jobs for me.
J-E-S-U-S,
can't you set us free?
Door and knock, knock, knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock. Is anybody here, my boys? Is anybody here, my boys? I will open the doors and I'll come in.
A different song. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
I'm going to be singing I Cast All My Cares.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. At any time. I don't know what to do. I will cast all my cares upon you.
Thank you very much.
To preface the song, that it wasn't something we learned by ourselves. We learned this from Lindsay Keith, who learned it from her grandma, Julia, right before she passed away.
H-A-P-P-Y, so happy I can fly, fly away to Jesus. Behind the starry sky, my name is in the book. You will find it if you look. For I'm going to heaven by and by.
Okay, that is everybody. Thank you, children.
Thank you very much for listening to my song.
My
faith in God.
True vine, my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, may bear more. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, they are cast out as a branch and withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will also abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from the Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you should know that the world hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. But I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. But all the things that they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come, then they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. But if I had not come, had not done among them the works that no other man had done, then they would have no sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and the Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. And they hate me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, I know, because you have been with me from the beginning.
Thank you very much. We appreciated all of that, and we were all praying. Whenever anyone had a bit of a struggle up here, we're all praying that the Lord would help them along. And then, of course, we just appreciate all the efforts that are put into it. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
So I see that Brother Andy is back here, and I think this might be a good time to have that offering for the foreign fields. Maybe, Andy, would you just come up and just remind us again, and maybe just pray before the offering is received. Do we have the offering bags?
Yeah, they are. Well, we thank everyone for their giving, and we're getting reports as the week is unfolding, even since yesterday. In Kerala, India, where the children's home is, there's a lot of very severe flooding. A number of people in the church, their homes have been swept away. Now, keep in mind their homes in this area are made out of clay bricks or mud and straw and grass thatch roofs with no electricity, so the houses aren't very sturdy to start with, and we have people are losing their homes. People in the church right now, a couple of the buildings that we're using have been severely damaged. So we don't know what the full extent of the damage is yet, but after the waters subside, we're going to have to help. We're going to have to help rebuild. So once again, we thank you for your giving, because that's how these funds are used. It goes to help out our brothers and sisters in other countries. So also the deacons here, we have the bags?
They're coming.
Oh, they're getting them. Okay, they're bringing them up now. So
we need four people to...
Okay, four people, four deacons, or four helpers. Let's have four people. One, two, three, four. Okay, here we go. And, you know, I kind of feel like I should say thank you on behalf of these people that you will never meet. Thank you on behalf of our brethren in India. Thank you on behalf of our families in the Philippines. Thank you on behalf of our family in Africa. Thank you on behalf of the people in the Caribbean that had hurricane damage. There's a lot of people who'll never be able to say thank you, so I'm saying thank you on their behalf. Heavenly Father, this morning as we take up this offering for the foreign field, we look to you. We give you thanks for it. We look to you that you will extend the dollars, bless the dollars, and stretch them. We pray, my Father, bless all that are giving, everyone that is here. And we thank you again, dear Lord, for the opportunity to help those in other countries that are connected to us in the body of Christ. We pray your blessings on this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. We haven't had many prayer requests through this week, but we do have a few here this morning that we'd like to bring to the Lord. Daryl Smith, would you come and help me with a prayer request, please? Okay, I'm going to start. Daryl, I wonder if you would start with this one right here. Just read the request.
My school was scheduled to receive.
This is from Midge Levson.
Okay, my school was scheduled to receive three portable classroom units the end of July. These portables are in a national park. There is a snag in the operation now. We are in a tight time frame due to the start of school. Please pray that everything will work out so we can have them in place so that the teachers can set their classrooms up before school starts. We would like them in place by August 20th. Thank you, Midge Lufson. Amen. It's very specific, and we can pray that way, that the Lord would answer that in time. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we bring this request before you. Father, you are in charge of all time frames. You created time. Lord, you created all these things. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus Christ, that this prayer request be answered by August 20th. We pray that the classrooms would be set up in time. We pray that your hand would move and that the glory would be given to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
This one was submitted by Dave and Midge Levson, and it's for Ruth and Randy Smith. It says, please pray for Sheila Vandell of Coeur d'Alene, who has been given 3 months to live because of colon cancer, which has spread in her body. Also pray for Carolyn's sister, who is bipolar and trying to recover from an abusive husband and divorce. Also pray for Sheila's husband, Pete, in the whole ordeal. So I said, it's Dave and Midge have submitted this for Ruth and Randy Smith. Now, I believe Ruth Smith is here. I'd like to just make it clear to everyone that Ruth is from the Greif family, and Mike, would you come up, please? Is Mike here? Would you come up and just tell us a little bit about this so that we can get the connection here? Yes, there's Ruth.
Hmm.
Okay. Anyway, Mike, I would like you to come up and pray for this request, and we'll all stand with you. We just we appreciate Ruth being here this morning, and you live in Coeur d'Alene, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Dear Lord, we just lift up this need. You are well able, Father, to meet this need, and you know this situation with Heidi and the two ladies, the one that has the colon cancer and the other one that has had an abusive marriage relationship, and the lady that has the sister that has the colon cancer is concerned about her sister, and she has a real burden for her sister, and yet she's the one that has the colon cancer. So, Father, we just pray for both of these needs. We just ask, Father, that you would, we want to ask largely for help for both situations, for peace and for your healing touch, even for Heidi with the colon cancer, and for restoration for the sister who's been abused and has bipolar. Man wants to put a name on things, but we know, Father, that the enemy is probably harassing the sister that has this bipolar, and she's been abused. And so, Father, we just pray that you'd restore her, that you would meet her needs, that you would meet both of these needs, Father, and continue to give Ruth and Randy a real, give them inspiration and give them help and give them faith for this situation as they continue to pray for this, Lord. We just ask this in Jesus' name. You meet those needs, Father. Pray.
Praise the Lord. You stay with us, and we'll, I'm going to take this prayer request, and maybe you can take that one afterwards.
Sure.
Okay. So this one is, this prayer request is from, please keep Rick and Arlene Booker in your prayers. There's a large forest fire 4 miles east of their ranch. Evacuation orders were issued last night. Arlene is now in Williams Lake, but Rick and their son, Cody, are staying at the ranch. Where is the ranch located?
It's between Williams Lake and
Bonfils, in BC. In BC, yeah, okay. Please pray the winds will change and blow the fire back on itself, and pray for rain and cooler temperatures. And this is from Elaine. Would you all stand with us as we bring this request to the Lord? Dear Heavenly Father, there are so many fires, especially this year, and there's many people are feeling fear and in danger and having the smoke there constantly in many areas, dear Father. And we especially pray for Rick and Arlene Booker, and we just pray for direction as to what they should do, and give them peace in their hearts, dear Lord. Give them faith and confidence in you. And Father, just turn these fires in another direction, dear Lord, or Amen. Just eliminate them altogether. We really appreciate the rain, small rain that we had last night. And Father, we know that you can change the weather, and you can bring the rain, dear Father. We just need rain throughout the whole province, and we just especially pray that there will be, that you will intervene in this situation. And just, our hearts go out to them. We love them, and we just ask for your holy peace upon them. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
This prayer request is for Tyler and Megan Weeb. It's a wonderful couple. 2 years ago, Tyler received a liver transplant. This coming Monday and Tuesday, he's being assessed for a possible islet cell transplant. Please pray for wisdom for the doctors and comfort and peace for Tyler and Megan. From Elaine. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for this couple, Lord. They've gone through so much.
Amen.
Father, we pray that you'd give them strength as they continue on through this trial and this walk that they've been going through. You've held them in your hands all this way. Lord, we pray that you continue to hold their hands, Lord, and guide them through this thing.
Yes,
Father, we pray for wisdom for the doctors. We pray, Lord, that the right thing, the best thing would be done, Lord. We just pray for, sometimes you give us instant deliverance from some things. Sometimes you take us through them. They're right in the middle of this thing, Lord, and as you take them through it, Father, give them strength, give them peace, give them patience, give them love. We pray that this trial would bond them closer together with one another.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And that it would just do its purpose, bringing the body of Christ closer together.
Yes.
As we pray for them.
Amen.
Lord, we pray your blessing and healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. This prayer request is from John Greif. Please pray for a former employee of our music store. He's been working for the new store owners. His name is Gary Rogers. He's 74 and he has cancer. Nothing the oncologists have tried seems to work. He is a Christian, and he's trusting in the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, we've prayed for Gary many times over the years, Father, and you've met needs, but he still continues, Father, with this need that he has right now. And we know who we're believing in, yeah. Lord. We're calling out to the great physician, to the one who created us and who knows not only all of our bodies, but you definitely know Gary's body intricately. And you know his need. You know his need with his foot and this cancer that's in his body, and his prognosis hasn't been good. But Lord, we just we look to you.
Yes,
indeed. We look to you, the creator of his body. And we just ask, Father, on his behalf, we want to stand in the gap on his behalf,
yes, Jesus,
that you would meet his need,
yes. Yes.
That you would heal that cancer,
yes.
That you would give him peace and give his wife courage,
yes.
And to continue to trust you for this situation, and the same for Gary.
Yes.
Lord, strengthen their faith and strengthen their resolve to live for you and to walk with you. And we just commit them into your hands, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus, Lord. Our faith is in you, not in our abilities, but our faith is in you, O Lord.
In
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Maybe going to take some more tonight. I don't know. I thought it was that Phyllis Shepherd submitted.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I missed that.
Yeah.
Should we pray for that now?
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. This one was done, right? Yeah.
Yeah, all these are done.
Go ahead. I was planning to include that one anyway, but that's.
Okay.
You just go ahead, because you know the situation.
Phyllis Shepherd was texting, reminding us or asking us to pray for Stacy Shepherd, her brother. He has lung cancer and is in kind of bad shape. In the natural, he'll just be worsening. She says it'll be her lot to take care of him as he gets bad. So she's asking for prayer for the whole situation. So our Heavenly Father, we pray for this request, Lord. Stacy does not seem to be one bit interested on the outside, but Lord, we pray that his heart would be open to you. We pray, Lord, that through this and through what Phyllis may minister to him, that your spirit would draw him. Your spirit is amazing how it goes here and there, and we can't see it, but it can go right into his heart and draw him. He knew you at one time, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that he would come back to you, that he would give his natural life to you, that his spiritual life might go on forever. Lord, we pray that you give Phyllis strength and words of wisdom, Lord, as she talks to him and takes care of him. Heavenly Father, we just pray your blessing upon this situation now. We pray for your healing touch to be upon his body. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, you just stay with me while we... Wayne, you've given us a prayer request for Ernie Clausen. And it says, wanted for problems with his throat. So... okay. Where does Ernie live? In Winkler?
Close to Winkler.
Close to Winkler, yeah. I'm just trying to picture who he is. He's
Dave Clausen, the elder in Winkler.
Okay,
his
yeah.
Brother.
Dave's brother. Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay.
He was a count.
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts go out. Whenever anyone has a need, dear Lord, we all have the need. We all share the need.
Amen,
and together now we just pray for this throat condition that Ernie Clausen has. Father, we just pray that even as we pray, that he will be touched, dear Father, and there will be healing and release from something that is holding him back from walking and ministering and being the person that he would like to be, dear Father. We just pray for that healing even as we speak.
Yes.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, thank you.
Byron, can I read a verse?
Yep.
Just want to read a verse. We're praying for rain. I was looking at the news this morning, the fire in California. The smoke, believe it or not, is reaching New York City. It's just that bad. It's gone all the way across the country, and it's in New York City. There's a verse that many of you have memorized, and we even sing about it, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But nobody quotes 2 Chronicles 7:13. No one does. We don't sing about it. Let me read the two together. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, there's no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place.
On our way to the camp, we came through Carameas and through the British Columbia way, and we stayed in a motel just across on the other side of the border before we came into camp. And but through much of that area, there's smoke, and it was quite amazing to look at the mountains and see the many little fires that were burning. You know, it's just not just one, you know, there's some big ones, but there just seem to be so many little ones. It's just really, in the natural, it's really scary. And we have people that live in that area. I have a niece that's there and a cousin live in Carameas, and they have their car packed, ready to go. Let's just stand, and if anyone would like to just lead in prayer in this situation, it's a change that we're seeing. You know, the California fires and the BC fires. There's fires in Ontario. There's something happening here, and we just need the Lord to undertake. Praise the Lord. Maybe, yes. What was that?
Prairie provinces in Canada.
Drought in the prairie provinces.
And I think in the States, too.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know that. When I lived there, I was raised on a farm, and it was scary all the time. One of the reasons I couldn't stay there is I couldn't stand the uncertainty of the farming, because you'd have years that there was nothing. When it was dry, and here we have a drought again. So just lead in prayer if this is on your heart. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Before we pray, I would just like to let everyone know that also down in the United States, we're having our problems with the storms, as our brother just indicated with California, Redding, California. That fire is right on the city, and it's going from there to the west. But in Oregon, where Lloyd Cornell and Chris and Isaac and my wife and I live, there's a series of five different forest fires. There's one area where one fire has come and joined into another, and there are literally thousands and thousands of acres of wheat that have just disappeared. These wheat farmers are sitting there and their crops are gone. It's just as black as an ace of spade. And as we were driving along the Columbia Gorge, we could see signs of the fires up in the hillsides, and even in the state of Washington, we were amazed at how far we drove, and the hillsides in Washington were just as black as could be. And so it's just all over the place. And I appreciate the scriptures that you just read. You know, it's so true. And I want to emphasize, not only is if the believers that God wants to come to him in a much fuller way. But it's the people, not just the believers. All people need to turn to the Lord. Our nations, Canada, the United States, our nations need to take a good hard look at what we're doing as people. And we need to turn to the Lord, and we need to pray for our nations. I know you folks are in the States, and you know what I'm saying. When right now we really need to be praying for our government, our the people that are supposedly running our countries. We're a disaster down there. And so we need that prayer. And we need the people, not just God's believers. We need the people of our countries to start turning to the Lord again and to take a good hard look at what they're doing. So let's pray for these fires and this drought. We're having droughts in the United States too, and California especially. They're always having droughts, and it's really hurting.
Amen.
Okay, let's just bow our heads. Father, we come to you this morning as a body of believers, dear Lord, that in our hearts we're on our knees praying unto you to undertake for these needs that are there in our countries, for these fires, dear Lord. Father, the damage has been done in many cases already, but Lord, it involves the people. It involves people that have lost their homes. They've lost their crops. They've lost friends, loved ones. They've lost pets. It's just incredible what is happening. And Father, we uphold these folks, Lord, before you this morning. We hope that in some way you can give them an experience of faith in you. Lord, help them to look to you, for their needs are great right now. They need a new home. They need new clothes. Their vehicles have been burned. Everything, equipment. And Lord, we just pray that you will watch over them, that you will lead them and guide them in whatever directions you have in mind for their lives. And let them, Lord, let them lean on you. Let them lean on you in such a way that they will know you are their Lord and that you are their God. And you will not forsake them nor leave them. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
There are many places that need rain, Lord, and we pray for rain. But, Lord, we pray for the rain of your Holy Spirit to come down upon the whole earth, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you would open people's eyes everywhere, Lord.
Amen.
That they would look around and that they would see that there's nowhere to turn but you, Lord. That they would see that there's no hope in this world. That there's no hope in anything this world has to offer, Lord. We pray, Lord, in every part of the world, Lord, in every religion, in every denomination, in every area, Lord, wherever there are people who have hearts that would be willing to open up to you. We just ask, Lord, that these tragedies, Lord, that they would just bring people to you, Lord.
Amen.
That people would realize that all these things are beyond their control. And the only control is what you have, Lord. And that they would see that there is a God in heaven who cares. And a God in heaven who has created all things and who is in control of all things. Lord, we ask you to open the eyes of many, many people, Lord. That these tragedies, we know, Lord, these things are working your purpose. And we know that you've allowed them for a reason, Lord. And we just ask that they would be instrumental in bringing people to you, Lord, through all these tornadoes and all these disasters that have been happening. We just ask that you would turn people's hearts to you, Lord, and that the church would turn to you in a stronger way, Lord, and that we would be there for people when they come seeking a reason for our hope, Lord, that we would be able to give them an answer, and that we would be able to say, our God reigns, and our God is all-powerful, and our God is in control of everything, and there's no need to worry because God will take care of you. Amen. Hallelujah.
How many know the song, If My People Were Called By My Name? How many can sing that? I don't know it real well. Okay, if you've sung it, it's like two parts and a little bit of harmony there. Come up here for a second, please. If you know it, and we need some leaders, some musicians, and some leaders. Maybe Mike Rife can help us get it started. So if you know that song, please come up here, and I'm just going to read that verse to you again while they're coming up. If my people, let's read it again, who are called by my name, and here's the requirements, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And as I read the first verse, when I shut up the heavens, and there's no rain, and there's wildfires, and I command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Can someone lead us?
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble
by my name. turn from evil and seek my face. I will hear, I'll forgive, I will
granddaughter. I have a granddaughter, Christine, and her husband, Connor, and it's their job to fight those fires. I have often prayed for them, but I think today we should pray for them again because they need God's protection in those fires.
Yes, amen.
Christine said last spring, Grandma, pray for me because I'm scared. If you scare Christine, you know there's something to be scared about. But she said, I'm on a mopping up operation right now. And she said, you know, those trees that have been burned underneath, they're not very stable. And I'm walking out amongst them and they're falling down. Well, that's kind of serious, so we need to pray about it.
Yes,
amen. Before you pray, can we also pray for Julia Stinson? She's fighting fires. And there's a young man that was a firefighter from Wetaskiwin that actually died in the California fires. Can we pray for his family? Dear Lord, we thank you for your protection and for watching over the firefighters and the new measures that they have in place to keep them safe. But, oh God, we pray for your protection.
Yes, amen.
We pray for your wisdom. We pray that you would put a hedge around our young people.
Yes.
Oh God. We pray that you would protect them beyond what is reasonable. That they would walk away and know that you were there. That it would impact them so greatly that they would be able to tell those around them and that they would bring others to full realization of you. Oh God, I pray specifically for this young man that died in California fighting the fires and for his family and this gift of a young man that has given up his life in the line of duty. There's several others that have died in the California fires as well. I pray for their families. And oh God, we thank you. We thank you that we can pray to you and that we can come before you and know that you are there for our children.
Amen.
Amen.
As a young boy growing up with people, parents from Saskatchewan that were farmers and a lot of relatives that were farmers, I heard many, many testimonies on how God changed the weather and how God protected crops,
protected homes and changed storms. I heard testimony about one time at camp, the weather was so bad they wondered how people were going to get home because of the storms, and they prayed and those storms went away. I heard many testimonies on that, and I couldn't help but think of that when we were praying. God can deal with the weather.
I wonder if anyone has a testimony of God's goodness this morning.
Things I'd like to share. And I thought, you know, we had testimonies the other night, and I thought I was happy to sit in my seat. And this morning I woke up again and I said, well, Lord, if they open it up for testimonies, then I'll go up there. So I'm up here. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a testimony, and I'm going to talk to you about a couple things. I was a young woman. I went to Calgary. I did my nurse's training in Calgary, and Wayne Peters started to visit me in Calgary, and after a period of time, he proposed, and I don't know if we set the date exactly, but he wanted me to move to Winkler, and Brother Witter and I can't remember the other one of the brothers came over to our house, and Norma and I cooked dinner for them, and I talked to the man, and I said, how do you know what you should do? Like, how do I know if I should move before I get married, after I get married, or how do I know the mind of the Lord? And Brother Witter said to me, he said, when you pray, it is really unfortunate when Christians pray and do not make a prayer so specific that they know when God is answering them. So he said, you take that thing to the Lord and you find something you can believe for and you ask the Lord. So I prayed and I said, Lord, if I have a job in Winkler within a month of me getting there, that means I'm supposed to just work in Winkler. And if I don't, then I'm going to look in Portage or Brandon or Winnipeg. That was my fleece, and within a month I had my job. So I came to Winkler, and I left all my people behind. And I came to a different culture and a different community, and no friends really other than the man I was going to marry. And he was, a girl comes and a woman is emotional. You know, you might not look that emotional, but a woman has emotional needs, and I'm kind of a little on the edge here. And we're going out and we're going for drives and we're doing this and that and the other thing. It's all fine and good, but not my needs were beyond that. And I remember coming home one day to the little house I was living in, and I just started to sob, and I can tell you, I have a mother who will tear up, which I'm doing now, but I have a dad who's very quiet-natured. That is the only time in my life I can remember just sobbing my heart out. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? Like, should I go back to Calgary? Like, I can't live like this. I didn't feel that love and support. This poor guy had no idea. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And I just sobbed my heart out. And for the one time in my life, the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice. And he said to me, and it was just like this, he said, I'm going to tell you two things about it. One was, what he said, You don't have to worry about changing Wayne. I am going to change him. It's just like that. That was the one thing, and I thought, tears gone, sobbing over. Oh, completely calm and relaxed. But the other thing I noticed was, there, you know, what's the smallest measurement that there is? I don't know what that would be, but think about it. There was no condemnation. There wasn't. There was no condemnation. The Lord was not criticizing me. There was no criticism. And I thought to myself, that's how God is. Oh, that's how God is. He doesn't condemn us at all. And I talked to a gal, it was a little offshoot, quite a few years later, and we were sitting at someone's table, and she talked about one time when the Lord had spoken to her once in an audible voice. And so I said to her, well, how was it? She said, you know, it was so wonderful. She said, there was no condemnation. There was, no matter what the trouble she was having, there was not even anything that would make you feel that the Lord was unhappy in any way. It was pure. The Lord just showed up. So then I thought, okay, that I won't go back to Calgary. I just felt like, well, I can carry on. And so then we lived our life, and I'm not going to really talk about that. What I did want to talk about was a few years down the road, I was still young. When things bother me, I can't sleep at night. And it got to a point, I can't for the life of me remember why I wasn't sleeping. And maybe for a month, every night I was awake. So I tried praying like crazy. That did not help. I tried speaking in tongues like crazy. That didn't help either. After a month, I remember saying to the Lord, okay, I've done everything I can do. I'm now done. I'm going to bed. And that thing lifted right off me. And that's one time. Another time I remembered, as I was laying in my bed here, was a time when our friends turned on us. Not all of them, a few of them. We got persecuted. It was really, really tough. And after that time of persecution, it was terribly hard on Wayne and me. And my heart got so that I could not speak in tongues very good. And I remember going to North Battleford, and Brother Luff said, anyone who hasn't ever spoken tongues should come up. And the Lord whispered in my heart, if I would go up for prayer, he would help me with that. So I think Brother Luff looked kind of surprised. Wayne says sometimes I imagine things, but I actually think he looked a little surprised when I went up with all these young whoever. And they prayed for me, and I had liberty in speaking in tongues, and I've had liberty in speaking in tongues that I've never had it like that ever since. But I still was not set free. That thing had bothered me, and I wasn't set free. And so the next year at summer camp, then I can't remember how they phrased the prayer, but they asked if anyone was struggling with something, they should come to the front. And so I went up there, and Brother Nat and another brother prayed for me, and I still was not set free. And that's what I wanted to say today. You know, even though I had prayer that time, I was just not set free. So Brother Nat and I sat in one of those round tables in the dining room at North Alford, and I just shared with him all the things that were just hurting me and binding me, that I couldn't feel freed in my spirit. And he sat there and counseled with me and prayed for me, and that whole thing lifted off. Praise the Lord. So I wanted to say, sometimes it is enough to come up to the front and be prayed for, and it's a wonderful release. But sometimes there's things that don't just leave, and you may need to go another step, and you're still supposed to be free. So do the next thing. So then the third one I want to talk about is, and Wayne has referred to it, we had trouble with one of our business partners. He wasn't doing his job with construction. And Wayne is a perfectionist, comes from a Mennonite community, German Russians, they are perfectionists. And he was ashamed of some of the stuff that was happening because they were not up to his standard. And so what we ended up doing, our two vice presidents found this young man who was an award-winning young man, and he did not have enough work, and we had lots of work. And we ended up, I met the guy. Wayne wanted me to meet him because that's kind of how we work. Like, if I get a bad feeling,
through the years, we've learned that we both pay attention to it. And we met this guy, and I asked him a few questions, and I wasn't very involved. That was my only real part. And we ended up partnering with this young man, and he took bad counsel. We have a company in Winkler that sells, it's called Spit Sunflower Seeds. He sold his company for $14 million to Pepsi Cola. He hired a man to handle that $14 million, that it wouldn't shrink, but that it would grow. And I'm not sure how the whole thing worked, but he ended up taking over bankruptcies, and he worked with a bankruptcy lawyer. That fellow that was handling... So they're telling us about this, and they talked about in Alberta they took over a bankruptcy. And in my spirit, I had a real funny feeling. I thought, did they take over a bankruptcy, or was there more to this story? Just didn't feel quite right. But that wasn't our partner. That was these other men that we had heard about. So this young partner, who's the same age as my oldest son, he got involved with these men that he should never have gotten involved with. And this young man had an idea of how he wanted things, how much money, like, whatever. And he basically tried to force us into bankruptcy. And it was a heavy burden on Wayne and I. And we went through a year where we just felt loaded down. We could hardly smile. I don't know if anybody, I'm sure other people have experienced that. And Wayne was traveling with our apostolic brothers, and he asked them to pray, and they prayed for us, and we appreciated it. And one day he phoned them, and he said, I feel bad. I've already asked you to pray, and I appreciate that you're praying, but I don't know what had gone on, but something had gone really bad. And he said, I just want to ask you again today, will you please pray for this situation? And the group of men, whoever prayed, that heaviness and that feeling of oppression that had been on us completely lifted off us. We were happy. We could smile. Our situation with that man did not change to any extent at that point. But the spiritual harassment of the enemy of our soul, that was dealt with and it was gone. So there's another time, that was a different thing. We could manage on our own, but it was absolutely killing us. So I guess that was what I wanted to say. When I married Wayne, after we were married, he told me that the Lord had told him in prophecy when he was 20, whatever, that he would have lots of trouble. And as our life went on, I said, you really should have told me that before I married you. But the benefit of that is what we've gained from those experiences. So I was sitting in the service the other day. Grab a Kleenex. And I'm going to read you a song. It won't take long. In shady green pastures, I felt like starting this song. But I have parents, and they both had a ministry in singing. And when they started a song many, many times in the assemblies that they were in, it was like they brought you right into the throne room of God. There was an anointing when they sang. And when I looked at this song the other night, I thought, I just didn't feel that I had the anointing to do that. But Wayne and I talked about that this morning, because I've been talking to Wayne about the things that have been going on in my heart. And I said, you know, to Wayne, I said, Wayne, sometimes when we're singing songs, we're missing that. The person that wrote this song that I'm going to read to you was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and there was an anointing on that person when that song came to them. And if we can enter into the anointing that they experienced, we will receive that richness that God wants for us. So I'll read the song. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads us dear children along. There's the water's cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters and some through the flood. Some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. And all of the verses are wonderful. But I sat there and I thought in my chair,
There are many people, like we've gone through many experiences, and there's many people in our group that have gone through, some have gone through great sorrows that have almost, I remember praying for Brother Witter after Clara died, and it came on me so heavy, it went on for a long time. I just interceded for that man, and I'd see him, and I'd say, well, how's it going, Brother Ritter? And he'd say, well, God is good. And I thought, well, it's sure painful on my side because this is a very hard work. And when he met Clara or reconnected with Clara, that intercessory prayer was gone, and I was extremely happy because that was a heavy, heavy burden. Sometimes people have sorrow that is almost... Many times elderly people, their one spouse dies, 2 or 3 months later the other spouse dies. They just cannot bear the heartbreak of losing that partner. So in all these things, this person, when they started this song, they started the song in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along. Through the waters, cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, and God leads his dear children along. And then right away, there's the chorus, and it says, this is what's happening in people's lives. But this is where God is leading us. And even in our hard circumstances, this is God's provision. He is leading us through those green pastures. He's leading us along by the cool water, despite all the things that we go through. This is the last thing I want to say. As the week's gone on, I'll say it like this. One of the gals was going out of church yesterday. And I said to her, that she looked really cute, and she kind of gave me a funny look, and she went outside and sat down, and I said to her, like, don't you realize how cute you are? Like, you really look really cute. And her husband was there. And I said to him, my, you're such a lucky man. You have got such a lovely wife. And, he said he really agreed with that. And I was thinking about the women that we have here and how lucky the men are. Thinking that this morning as I laid in bed. And how, you know, I know women who aren't very nice. Like I've told Wayne sometimes, Wayne, I said, you don't understand women. There's women that aren't very nice, and they will be hard, and they will be mean to you. And you might be in the workforce. When my daughter got hired for a job, her first full-time position, the gal that hired her said, she hired her for as a dietitian, and she's going into this office with 3 dietitians, outpatient oncology dietitian. And the woman that hired her said, I'm hiring you for this job, but I'm hiring you to handle Kathy. So Christine gets into the job, and this woman has her master's, and she's been there 10 years, and she said to me, she says, Mom, she said, I can't handle Kathy, but Kathy was such a problem for Christine, or not for Christine, in that organization, that this was part of the thing. So the reason I say that is, you know, I think sometimes women don't realize how beautiful they are. I don't think women realize what a blessing they are. I don't think they realize that they're doing their job and their husbands might really appreciate them, but they don't realize how absolutely blessed their husbands are and their children are. I wanted to say that before I sat down. You know, if you sometimes we want to do everything right and we aren't doing everything right. And so then we get hard on ourselves and we maybe beat ourselves up a little bit. But believe me today when I say that this is an exceptional bunch of women and you should be very happy and thankful for the Lord for how wonderfully you've turned out.
Getting on. But I wanted to say something the other night, but there were a lot of testimonies and it was getting late. So I would just like to, first of all, I should start out how good the Lord has been to me throughout my life. The many times that I was in accidents, like one time way back when I was young, I was in a runaway with a horse and a buggy, My father was on the buggy with me to begin with, and he was a strong man, and he could hold that horse, but he got off the buggy to chase the dog back home because the dog was going to follow us. My father was going to take me to school, by the way. And as soon as my father got off, the horse started out. And that cart was just over gravel roads, and the gravel was just, well, I was saying, whoa, whoa, but nothing. He wouldn't listen at all. And I thought, well, I've got to jump. I got to jump because it's not stopping. But it was just going into the ditch, to and out of the ditch, and I should have jumped when it was in the ditch because there was grass there. But I hung on until it got back on the road, gravel road, and finally I thought, I have to jump, so I did. And, of course, I got hurt, landed on the road, and the horse ran all the way to town, which was about 2 miles, got caught in a barbed wire, and that's where he stayed. And my father caught up with me, and I was alive, though I guess I shook up. But and then all through my life, when I was being, I had 2 wipeouts on the bicycle, and the Lord always spared me. And then, too, I always wanted to drive. My late husband, he didn't mind me learning to drive, but I thought, how can I learn to drive? I just was so scared to get under the wheel, even, and to get at the driver's wheel. But one time I was in a meeting, and the speaker said, is there any something that you want to do? I said, I would like to learn to drive a car. Then come up for prayer, said. So I came up, and within about a year, I was about 47 then, and when I became 48, I finally had my driver's license. So I felt, well, God really undertook for that. I knew it. Because I was so nervous about driving. Normally, I don't think I'm that nervous of a person, but when it came to sitting under that wheel, I was really nervous. So I believe that that was a miracle that God undertook. So my driving comes in so handy. Going to visit somebody that's sick, and I do volunteer work. I can drive myself there. I still do some volunteer work. And it makes me feel younger when I can work with younger women. And anyway... the Lord has been so merciful to me. And with my driving, I have to say, I didn't always drive with, I humbly say this, with due care and attention. But, one time, somebody that, well, they just hit my car a little, but it did take the side mirror off, so it was dangling. But yet, I was safe inside there. And he said, well, you came close to being a statistic. But I know it was my fault. I was tired. I was going all the way from Cranbrook to Regina. And anyway, I was fine. And the driver of that semi, he was fine too. He was kind. And nothing was reported. And I phoned up the company he worked for. And I apologized because it was just a little scratch on his big truck, whereas the side mirror of mine was dangling. I said to Gwen, she was working in Regina then, do you think, because I drove to Regina like that, do you think that could be fixed so Dad doesn't see it when he gets back home? No way, it couldn't be done until after I got to Cranbrook. But those of you that knew my husband, he was a kind man. And I miss him very much, by the way. Well, anyway, I better make this short. So I was so afraid of getting under that driver's wheel there that one time we were stuck. This was before I had my license. And when I still thought it was so hard a thing to think I could ever be driving. And Richard said, well, we're stuck. I'll push and you just steer the car out of the ditch. It was winter and snow, I guess we were stuck in. And I wouldn't do it. No way would I get it. Well, where were we going to go? We were stuck. But there was no way that I would get under that driver's wheel. So that just shows you what a miracle God did for me, that I could be driving. And I'm still driving today. I can go where I want to go in Cranbrook, visit somebody that's sick, or drive to volunteer work, drive to the stores. I like to shop for bargains. And, it comes in so handy to be able to drive, and I'm so very thankful. Now, in British Columbia, we, after age 80, we have to have a pretty thorough test. They want a memory test, they want an eyesight test, a hearing test, and the doctor, she wanted to turn my head like this and like that to see if I could do the shoulder check. And, of course, I can still do that very well. And so I passed that test for another 2 years. It's after age 80, every 2 years, you have to have that test. I don't know where it is in other places, but that's British Columbia. Anyway, I am here to say that God has been so good to me throughout my life and so merciful to me. And I'm glad I can come to camp, and I'm glad to see some of my family here. And I'm thankful for all the Lord has done for me and my children. I just want to give God all the glory. I humbly say this, that I am so thankful for what all the Lord has done for me.
Thank you.
Well, it's nice to end on a positive and humorous note. Are there some announcements for this afternoon?
So young people and anybody else who's up to the challenge are going to be playing basketball this afternoon. And I believe we'll meet at 2 o'clock. Out at the court, so anybody that wants to come, you're very welcome.
For those people interested, we're going to learn a little bit more about nature. And Dave Zwack, Uncle Vic, and myself will take you on a little tour. I think what we'll do, we'll start at 2 o'clock. We'll meet here, and we'll do just a walk around the grounds. There's deer and quails and turkeys and other things. We might see some wildlife, and we'll certainly see signs of them. And then I think after about an hour, I'm going to say approximately about an hour, then at 3 o'clock maybe we'll just take a little route up here. Dave and I checked this morning, and there is an eagle's nest up there. I think the eagles were out gathering food. We didn't see any, but we'll go up there and just have a little time in the car. It'll be cooler. It's cooler today. So if you're interested, 2 o'clock here.
Just bow our hearts in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for a good afternoon, dear Lord, and may your presence be with us in every respect, dear Father, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.